you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, I'll follow you into the dark.
Dark depths of toxicity on the internet.
Dark depths, the card. What's up, everybody? You are watching slash listening to the Command Zone podcast, Walking Dead Secret Lair Edition slash Question Time Zone. How's it going? I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. Yeah, okay, so today we're tackling a bunch of listener-submitted questions, but the only one you care about right now, I'm sure, is Walking Dead Secret Lair and what we think about it. Everyone's been asking us, but after we're done talking about that, because it's probably not a full hour-long discussion, we are going to tackle a bunch of interesting questions that have been thrown our way from the listeners over the past few months. We do a few episodes like this per year.
Yeah, and of course, we still talk about cards in this episode. Now, some of these cards you may not want to buy on cardkingdom.com/commandzone, but I guarantee you there will be a bunch that you will want to get. So if you're going to pick up magic product, magic cards, sealed, singles, whatever you need in the magic world, cardkingdom.com/commandzone has it for you. Not only that, we have trusted them for 5+ years now. They are a fantastic service. They get your cards to you quickly, they rate them and grade them correctly, and they are just a supremely awesome company that we're happy to be supportive of, and of course support us as well. Use that affiliate link at cardking.com/commandzone, and you're helping us out.
And definitely you want to take any cards that you've got or that you're going to get and protect them. And the best way to protect all of your stuff is by using Ultra Pro products. They have the new Pro Gloss Eclipse sleeves that we've been talking about a lot. They've got awesome playmats, deck boxes. You know, satin towers are one of the best ways to keep your decks intact and make sure they don't get damaged in any way. They have sweet, really high quality metal dice. They have relic tokens. Whatever you need to make your battlefield look awesome and make sure that your cards stay protected, Ultra Pro has you covered. And the final way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/commandzone. There's all kinds of perks, like you get to chat with Jimmy and I on our Discord each and every day. In fact, a lot of people bugging us on Twitter and stuff to talk about Secret Lair. We've been discussing it a lot in our Discord with our patrons. And also, you get to do things like see game nights and extra turns a day earlier than everybody else. Plus, we call out one lucky patron every single episode. And this episode is dedicated to
August Unden. I said Ossist. I'm sorry, August.
August Unden.
Cool name.
August. You rock.
Not to mention, if you are a part of that Patreon, you also get to audition to be a part of Game Nights. We actually hold auditions about once a year now. We had to wait a little bit this year due to worldly circumstances, but they're back on. All you have to do is be a patron for as little as $1 a month, and you get to send in an audition and potentially be on an episode of Game Nights. One of our favorite episodes to film, and definitely one that brings us a lot of joy.
Yeah, if you've seen the last two Game Nights episodes with Jacob, Matthew, so good, and Millie, if you want to be sitting in their seat playing in a game in front of the world, then now's your chance to do so. All those links with all the rules, restrictions, and how to enter will be in the show notes, so click down there and find that. All right, without any further ado, let's go into our main topic here, which is a Q&A. We've got a bunch of interesting questions from listeners. If you would like to send us to send us a question that we might answer on air on a future episode like this, all you got to do, the best way, is to email us your question. That's commandzonecast@gmail.com. And just put the subject heading, question time.
Yep. Doesn't need to be anything else but that. We have an auto sorter that puts it into another inbox so that we can look at them all at the same time. Don't put question time dash a bunch of other stuff. Just put question time and we'll read the email.
Right now there's about 4,000 unread questions in there. So that's good. We have a lot of questions we can tackle by going in there. Okay. And then little note here. We're going to put up, if you're watching on YouTube, the questions those won't always be direct quotes. Sometimes we've shortened them for brevity. So, and we'll we're just only using people's first names. And sometimes people email in a question and say, "Don't use my name. Use this name." We'll try and do as much.
Yes,
possible.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's start with the elephant in the room.
Or I guess the undead elephant in the room.
The zombie elephant in the room. The walker elephant in the room. All right.
Yeah.
What are your opinions on Secret Lair, The Walking Dead? This was asked by everyone. Yes. We've been getting this question a ton. It's been a huge hot button issue in the community. Let's just start out with what The Walking Dead Secret Lair is for those people that may not know. I think there's a tendency to think like everybody knows about this because the internet bubble knows, but a lot of our listeners, they don't go on Twitter and Reddit and look for stuff. Like, we're their source of information for things like this. So what is the Secret Lair Walking Dead, Jimmy?
So Secret Lair is a product series that Wizards started, I believe, this year. Late last year into this year. And the entire idea is that they are an exclusive timed window release. So for a few days, for a day, for a week, whatever it is, you can buy specific promos. And these promos will usually feature alternate art, be reprints of cards, be themed around things like four different Thalias or four different Serum Visions.
Bitter Blossom plus three foil tokens or whatever.
Yeah, and so there are foil versions, non-foil versions, and these are just sort of like the, I would call them a premium product. You get them directly from a website and then they get shipped to you. And a lot of them also had like Planeswalker promos at the bottom of them. So basically they're an exclusive timed product that gets released to Magic players in addition to all the other stuff that we get every single year.
Yeah, but this one, very controversial because a couple of things happened for the first time ever. One is that they created a bunch of cards that were themed around an outside property. So The Walking Dead, the TV show. So there are five legendary creatures and one equipment. If you're watching YouTube, you're seeing some of that on screen now, that are themed around characters from that TV show. They feature artwork. Is it artwork or is it a photo?
It feels photorealistic. It feels like someone almost painted over a picture. It looks from far away enough like a photo. So this is not like a artistic interpretation of these characters. These feel like a photorealistic scene of them in
the show.
It's
like a screen grab from the show. I mean, I watched maybe five or six episodes of the show very early on, so I don't know a lot about it.
I only watched the first season, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, it looks like a photo, basically, of the characters. And then the big thing is that these are new cards. These are not reprints of old cards. These are not reskins of current cards. These are mechanically new. We've never seen this legendary creatures before with this exact text. So these are things that you can play. They're legal.
Yes.
They're black border. So they're legal in basically what the Commander product is legal in, Legacy, Vintage, Commander, those types of formats. So a lot of hullabaloo around this for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. Now, in the past, Wizards has done cards from a different universe. Godzilla and Ikoria is the most recent example. And they also had silver-bordered My Little Pony cards, the Swords of Dungeons and Dragons and Transformers and all that stuff at Hascon. However, those had silver borders. And then the cards in Ikoria were actually real cards in the set. There were just alternate names and arts for these special promos of those versions.
They were reskins.
Yeah, reskins.
Now, they actually had the equivalent
Godzilla,
magic card name.
Also Zalortha.
Yeah, and they had a Zalortha card as well, right? So you could not play the Godzilla version if you didn't want to. These are not reskins. This is the only version of that card that exists. If you want to play it, then you're going to play Rick.
Yep. By the time that this podcast is out there, this product actually will not even be sold anymore, as the window to buy it will have passed.
Yeah, it was
so
one
that's
week.
How it works. Yeah.
It will have just ended. Yeah, it went like, I think, Sunday to Sunday or something like that.
Yeah.
Usually Secret Lairs are only like a single day, so this window is a little bit longer than most Secret Lairs, but still not a big window. I think that's the first problem people sort of expressed, or maybe the biggest one that they expressed about this product, was just, if you're going to print cards that, you know, this is the only place we can get them, then this limited availability for a couple of different reasons really makes it frustrating, right? Because you have to have, you know, had the opportunity during that 1 week period to order it, you know, and a lot of people, they don't get paid
right until the end of the month
or whatever. So even if they really, really want it, they might not have a window of opportunity where it makes sense for them to even be able to buy it. Also, just like, of course, people who find out about it maybe for the first time right now on our podcast or something like that, well, it's too late to order it through Secret Lair. Obviously, there's a secondary market, and LGSs and individuals probably bought a bunch of them. So you can find them, but not for the, I'm going to say MSRP, but we know that isn't
the listed price on the website that they originally sold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the availability is obviously a big issue. Secret Lair is not something that is publicized within the entire Magic community because there are millions of players now. So not everyone's going to find out about them. And of course, added on to the fact that these are legal in Commander, the format that we play, you may see them as a Commander or in someone's deck, makes that additional idea of, oh, this isn't available for very long. It's a premium price product. And what if I can't afford it? Or what if I can't buy it in this window?
Or also, we should say Secret Lairs are not available everywhere. You can't just You can't just always go find them. Now, it's been reported, I think, erroneously that it's only available in North America. That's not true. We'll go through that in a minute. But definitely, it's not available like everywhere in the world. If you're in like Brazil, for example, I think it might be kind of hard to get. So
yeah,
a lot of people angry about that.
So let's continue to talk about sort of what this product is and the main things that the community and people have brought up against why they dislike it. Another thing is people are saying that this sets a very dangerous precedent. And I think there is a lot of validity to this concern, which is this is the first time we've seen a collab like this with an outside world that is not Magic the Gathering, that is very sort of outside of zombies, really not too much in common. Magic doesn't have guns, for example. The Walking Dead does. So people are saying that this is a cash grab by Wizards. It's something that they're using to galvanize two different fan bases into one thing with a premium price product. And they think the precedent this sets is dangerous because who's to say that the next thing they might not do is another franchise in a world that may not be exactly in the same as the world of Magic. And how long is this going to go on for? Because the more that this happens, clearly people are going to be more and more upset.
I think also, I like the precedent thing, right? I think people are scared. None of these cards, let's just say off the bat, are like extremely powerful or obviously broken in any way. But
yeah,
let's
they're good in certain scenarios. And yeah. I think like the Humans one might be the best one. But yeah, they're not format defining by any means.
But let's say that Wizards did this again in the future and accidentally made like a Smothering Tithe that's in this set. I think that's something people are scared of. If you make a card that is sort of must have, quote unquote, for the format and you only make it in the Secret Lair and it's limited availability, that's pretty scary because that's going to make that card's price very, very high and unobtainable for a lot of people. And also because of the regional thing about where it's available, there might be certain places on the planet where you just can't get a Smothering Tithe for your deck. I think people are just scared about the precedent this sets for the future and if they continue to do stuff like this.
Yeah, and Legacy players will remember True Name Nemesis was only available in Commander product but became an all-star in that format. So there was a lot of sort of about that as well.
Let's rewind also to the thing you said, which I think boils down to aesthetic. You know, the fact that this world of The Walking Dead doesn't seem to mesh super well with the high fantasy world of Magic, I think rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Like they don't, like you said, guns. And there's like, I think in one of the background of one of the cards, there's a car, you know? I mean, we have vehicles on Kaladesh, but they don't look like Hondas, you know?
right.
You see what I'm saying? So I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. There's an aesthetic thing that irks some people. And I think sort of the last major point that people are complaining about the product is, The Walking Dead is an R-rated property. Magic is sort of a 13 and up property. I think that's what it says on the boxes. So there's a disparity there between what kind of subject matter you would expect you're getting into if you're getting involved in one or the other. And the fact that they're colliding here, they're combining them, creates some things that I think people are understandably worried about.
Yeah.
Like when you sign up for Magic, you aren't necessarily signing up to deal with R-rated subject matter. And bringing this R-rated subject matter into the world of Magic, again, it's the type of thing that, you know, people don't like.
Yeah, not only that, it may, you know, for someone that's watched The Walking Dead, there are some pretty graphic things that happen on screen with an actor that's a real person doing things in a gory sort of way. And, you know, the RC also commented on this when they talked about it in terms of glorifying that and whether or not these cards do that. There was one more thing, too. I believe Wizards made a promise of sorts to stop making cards like Nexus of Fate, which are exclusive cards that only come in like the box topper, for example, and that people think that this violates that promise that they made, that these are mechanically unique cards in the hard or limited to get variety.
Yeah, I think people sort of also said they wouldn't do that for Secret Lair as well, although I couldn't find the documentation of where they made that promise. I'm not saying they didn't, it's just
there's a lot of text out there
and a lot of streams, and you know, I don't know where that came from, but there was a lot of people saying, you said you would never make, you know, mechanically unique cards for Secret Lair, and I couldn't find evidence of them saying specifically that, but maybe they did. Okay, let's talk about first of all, let's talk about, there was a large outcry to ban these cards in Commander. I did a poll on Twitter, on my Twitter, and I just asked, do you like these cards? Do you hate these cards? Do you not care that much about these cards? And 65% of respondents, and there was almost 14,000 people that responded, said they hated the cards. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask if they thought they should be banned, but I think like a large portion of the people that hate them probably
would have said yes to that, yeah.
Yeah, I was getting hammered. I don't know about you, but I was getting hammered a week and a half regarding this, specifically to ban them. They wanted me to tell the RC to ban these cards.
Right, and you're in a slightly different position because you are on the Commander Advisory Group. The right. messages I got were not so much a direction to do something, but more of a, we'll talk about that later.
Okay, sure, we'll address that later. So just to go through it, the RC did have sort of an emergency meeting because the outcry was so large and decided not to ban the cards. We will link the announcement for that in the show notes. They went through, similar to how we have, the different reasons that people are upset about and sort of addressed each point and ultimately decided not to ban the cards just because there's no gameplay reason to ban the cards. They're not powerful in a way that would you would consider banning. And so most of the reasoning behind wanting the Commander Rules Committee to ban the cards is basically boils down to sending a message to Wizards that we hate them.
Yeah.
We hate the cards. And so we should, you know, obviously you yelling at Wizards isn't going to stop the cards from coming out, and they thought that the Rules Committee banning the cards would send a really strong message to Wizards that, like, hey, your most popular format, no one can play these.
Or no one wants to, or they're so upset by them.
Well, if you ban them, no one can, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can, because there's house rules and things like that, but you know what I'm saying. The Rules Committee ultimately decided, I think correctly so, we said this on Twitter, I think you agree, Jimmy,
yeah,
that was not what the Rules Committee is there for, and that's not what the ban list is there for, and you know, the Rules Committee said they had some misgivings about these cards and the way that all this was handled, but ultimately they didn't want to ban the cards. They don't want to, if you're worried about precedent, that's a precedent for the Rules Committee.
That's a real bad precedent. Oh, yeah. The Rules Committee, if we don't like something as a community, we can just force them or strong arm to ban something. That is going to, I hate using the slippery slope argument, but that is quite the slope.
Okay, so that's kind of, hopefully everybody's up to speed on the context of what happened and you know,
yeah,
the reasoning behind things. And so we're going to address some of these things and then we'll get to our opinions and everything, of course.
Now, notably after all the outcry, Mark Rosewater, who is very prolific on his blog and talks a lot to the community, and from what I can tell, had very little to have these cards sort of exist, did say that there is a possibility that Wizards will do a reskin or a reprint of these in the future in a more accessible way. So maybe something where it's a reskin, new art, new name, but underneath it still says Michonne or whatever the card name is.
Similar to the Godzilla cards.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if this was their plan when they originally released these or not. I mean, obviously they're going to respond to all the outcry in the community as well, but they did come out in multiple places and say, like, no, we can reprint these cards if we want to, we can reskin them if we want to, we can create versions, and it won't mean that you can have two in your deck or eight in your deck if you're playing a legacy format or something like that. So they can get these cards into circulation in higher numbers if that's necessary some point down the road. So they did sort of allay that fear from people.
Which I think is, by the way, even if they decided it literally after they released the cards and saw the outcry, the right thing direction to move in.
Yeah, I don't think they should ever print anything in Secret Lair. Then they're like, this is literally the only time we're going to print it ever. Because it doesn't matter what it is and how many people buy it in 5 or 6 years. You know, if it's awesome and a lot of people want it, then you're going to need more in circulation because new players are just coming in all the time.
Yeah.
There's been some erroneous information about the availability of Secret Lairs and where they ship to, though. I've heard on multiple content creators even say that it's only available in North America. I had people like yelling at me saying, like, how can you support a product that's only available in North America? And I was like, it's not, though, right? Because other Secret Lairs have been available in other places. So we did a little bit of research and looked online and found the list of countries that this Secret Lair was available in. So here we go.
Josh will now sing them.
Yeah. Argentina, Australia, Canada, Chile, China, Colombia, Costa Rica, Hong Kong, Japan, Macau, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, the United States, Vietnam, Austria, Belgium, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Bulgaria, Croatia, Cyprus, Czechia, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Ireland, Italy, Latvia, Liechtenstein, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Macedonia, Malta, Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Serbia, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom. So not everywhere, But a lot of countries and a lot of different regions.
Yeah, that's most of the major continents, I believe, and a lot in Europe, obviously. And
you've got Asia.
And a lot in Asia.
You've got some Latin America, Brazil notably missing. Obviously, listen, it's not everywhere, but I don't think it's fair to say that it's only available in North America and that it's going to be like extremely limited. This is basically the places that Commander products go,
right,
with a few places missing. And Wizards obviously wants to send these everywhere they can. I think the reason they're not available just everywhere is just laws and import export laws and legal things in certain countries don't allow it.
I'm also assuming these days things are a bit harder to sell around the world given the current state of the world.
But anyway, I just want to get that out there because I thought that it was weird that that was a major talking point. It's only available in North America. That part is not true.
Okay,
let's get into our opinions here, because that's ultimately, I think, people were asking us a lot, like, what do you think about it? And we've gone into it on our Discord. We've posted a little bit about it on Twitter. Before we get into our opinions, a lot of people, like, you don't have to look very hard to find many comments that are basically saying we're not stating our opinion or haven't, like, made a video about it because of our affiliation, our sponsorship with Wizards of the Coast. Basically, that we're shills and that we can't say what we think because that will somehow, you know,
destroy or deteriorate our working relationship with Wizards. And I appreciate everyone that said this in a civil way.
No.
I would say 99% of the comments about this said this in a derogatory fashion to us, as though that us not saying this because of our Wizards connection was somehow a detriment. And we need to clear the air about this. All right. What does Wizards sponsor on our channel, Josh?
Game Nights. That show. Only that show. There's about 10 episodes a year. Those episodes are sponsored directly by Wizards of the Coast, and on that show, we do have some guidelines and rules with them. They do get to watch the show and approve it before it goes to air, and that's mostly to look for things like obscenities or things like...
Rules mistakes,
things like, you know, they wouldn't want us doing things like having drug references or something in there, you know, right, in a joke or something. Like, it's tied directly to their brand because it says that it's sponsored by them, so they... You know, they don't, honestly, I don't think they've ever changed a single thing. We've sent it to them, and every time they've said, yep, it's great. But they just have to cover their bases because they are directly affiliated with it. The podcast, this show that you're listening to right now, The Roundtable, Extra Turns, anything else we put out, that is not sponsored by Wizards. They have no say over what we say. And yes, understanding that we have a relationship with them for game nights that we don't necessarily want to like blow up, still, they have never in any way, shape, or form told us, you know, you should say this, you shouldn't say this, this is the, you know...
Don't say this, otherwise this.
Yeah, right. And also, if they did, we would end the relationship right away, because there's no way Jimmy and I are going to enter into any deal with any brand that would require us to hide or misrepresent our opinions.
Yeah, and also, you'll note that I say the words, this show is brought to you and sponsored by Wizards of the Coast, because it's a legal requirement in front of any of our content that's actually sponsored by them. So if I'm not saying those words, Wizards has literally nothing to do with the stuff that we're making, the content that we're saying, outside of the cards that we're reviewing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's their cards, obviously, we're talking about, but they can't tell us what to say about them. And we've been critical of them in the past many times.
Which is something that I think we have to reiterate here, especially for those that don't know it, because maybe they didn't catch the episode where we blasted them for whatever it is, but we have constantly been doing this and consistently been doing this for 5+ years on the podcast. We will lambast them about things we don't like, tell them about design choices we disagree with, ask aloud, why the heck is this not in this? It happens quite often. And if you haven't seen it in the past, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
And of course, we praise them as well. But it's funny, when you have the sponsorship, I understand it's human nature. When we say or you hear something from us that maybe you disagree with, say like, oh, Josh and Jimmy think something that I don't, it's a lot, for whatever reason, the human brain just wants to say, they don't really think that.
They're saying that because X, Y.
Yeah, listen, we don't say stuff on the show that we don't think. So having said that, our real opinions, it's always our real opinions if we're giving our opinions, on Walking Dead Secret Lair. Jimmy, go ahead.
Okay. I don't like the cards. I think they're really dumb, honestly, and I hate The Walking Dead. I watched one season of it, and I watched a little bit of other seasons. I'm like, this show, whatever. You know, I think it's like zombie porn, to be very direct about it, and I don't like the show, And the only part of the show that I liked was Steven Yeun playing Glenn, because I thought his character was dope. And in an alternate universe, I would have loved to audition for that character. So maybe I'd have a different opinion if I was in that show. But here's the thing.
If you were in the show, you would have loved it.
I mean,
it would be your favorite show of all time. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think the actors actually had problems with it too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've never been in a piece of content that you didn't like? No, that's not true.
Yeah, seriously. And so I don't like the cards. I don't like the idea of these cross collaborations. My main thing was like, why didn't they make these silver bordered? Why didn't they make these like the Godzilla promos and tell us that they're going to be printing the Commander Precon in the future, right? There's so many different ways that I think they could have foreseen the problems that this set has. And I agree with the majority of the reasons that people don't like it. The card availability is an issue. The fact that Legacy and Vintage players might want this and it's going to drive the prices up. The fact that there are people out there that are going to buy 4, 8, 12 copies of this, and that's still going to artificially drive the prices up. So even if you do boycott it, or even if you don't purchase it, you feel like your vote doesn't matter as much. So I think there's a lot of stuff going around that I'm just not a huge fan of the cards, but at the same time, I don't think they break the format. In fact, I think the cards that break the format are the ones that are worth hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, because they're on a thing called the reserved list. And I think in terms of what does it mean to be an accessible card in the world of Magic the Gathering is that we need to open our purview a little bit larger and look towards the fact that there are a lot of cards and situations that make this game inaccessible for many different and more valid reasons. Not to say that this isn't a valid thing. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I don't think it breaks the format. And if you're a new player that thinks that Glenn or Michonne is the coolest character ever and you want to build a freaking deck around them and you want to play it against me, I'm going to play against you. I'm not going to go like, nah, no thanks, and walk away from the table, because I think that destroys the spirit of the game, right? I've had people pull out proxy commanders that aren't even commanders. I've had people play Nephilim against me that aren't legal. There's a thing called Rule Zero in Magic, and that's something in Commander. And that's something where you discuss with the people around you what you're comfortable with, what you want to play with. And so I think those are the things that still protect this game above all. And that's why I am not up in arms about these cards, but it doesn't mean that I don't like them, that I don't approve of them, and I certainly am not going to buy them.
Let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is you love Walking Dead Secret Lair, I think it's the best thing ever,
okay.
And 1 is you hate it the most you could ever hate a thing ever. Where are you?
I'm like a 4 to a 5.
So you mostly are like ambivalent.
I'm just like, I don't care for these things. Yeah, I don't like what they're doing to the community. And that's actually the worst part to me, is how the community's been divided over it. The cards themselves don't affect. If the cards were like Smothering Tithe or Soul Ring, I would go 3, 2. You know, it would just drop down, because those are the things that really impact, I think, the game that we're playing.
Yeah, I'm probably like a 5, right in the middle. Like, I don't care much. I generally don't like them. And the reasons I don't like them are mostly the aesthetic reasons.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just don't love seeing, you know, characters from a TV show that have just feel like it has nothing to do with Magic. Like aesthetic kind of matters to me a little bit when I'm playing the game, but it's a mild dislike. It's like a food that you normally like, but there's just kind of a bad version of it that you're eating.
And it's like sushi at an airport.
Like, I'm still going to eat the rest of this, but yeah, I'm not going to rave about it. I'm probably going to forget this meal like 5 seconds after I walk away, but it's not going to like ruin my entire day or anything. Like, whatever.
It doesn't make you hate that type of food forever.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about it. I think the card availability thing's a little bit overblown. Like, for instance, let's say you wanted to build an Urza deck right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that card's not in print.
Right.
And that's just how Magic works. Now, the window of availability for this was a week, whereas Modern Horizons was 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
But ultimately, for somebody 3 years from now, those are the same. Like, that is a card you're going to have to find on the secondary market unless they've reprinted it. And that's what these are going to be 3 years from now for players. So I think that part of it is a little bit overblown. Wizards is the company. They get to make the Magic cards and they get to figure out how to distribute them. And, you know, they're allowed to do things like this. I wish it wasn't The Walking Dead they were doing this with.
Yeah.
Just because that part of it, I don't really love the crossover of those two IPs. The R-rated thing, I am sympathetic to, because, you know, one of the reasons we created this show and our content is all basically PG or G-rated is because I was teaching my nephew to play.
Right.
And that's how I got back into the show. And so the fact that, like, there are these R-rated elements that I don't, you know, I wouldn't want my nephew at that time, who was, I think, 13, to be, you know, exposed to, through me at least, to that kind of...
Like, they would see the card and maybe Google it and then
go down that path. So I think that part feels a little bit bad. But again, these are 5 cards, you know. It's just... here's an analogy. Because I think you can be correct about how you're feeling, but incorrect in what your response is. So let's imagine that you go to a restaurant and you sit down and you order a cheeseburger.
One cheeseburger, please.
And the cheeseburger comes to your table a few minutes later. Oh, sorry. You order the cheeseburger with no tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. No tomatoes. I hate tomatoes.
Yeah.
I love tomatoes.
And the cheeseburger comes to your table a few minutes later, and it has tomatoes in it. Now, I think most people would say it's reasonable to be slightly annoyed, and it's reasonable to go back to your waiter or go up to the counter and say, you know, hey, I asked for my cheeseburger with no tomatoes. Do you think I could get it remade so I can get what I ordered? It is not reasonable to wait outside in the parking lot for the cook to get done with their shift so that you can beat them up.
Ah.
And so the proportion of the response matters. Like, I think people have decent points about why they don't like the secret layers. I don't think they are being reasonable and proportionate with their response to it online. Calling for the cards for the rules committee to be banned and then getting online and typing in all caps and calling the rules committee out and saying they have no integrity, or saying that we're shills and we only say what Wizards wants us to say, or just straight up calling people names, which we both have received.
I would say the hard majority of tweets I've received and messages and comments have all been telling me I should be ashamed of myself.
Yeah, they're accusatory.
They're disappointed. It's toxic. It's a lot of vitriol. And it's a way that I wish no one ever had to talk to anyone in this world, especially not around a fictional card game with tiny plastic and cardboard cards that you play on the table for fun.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who have reacted that way online, like, and you know, when you try and respond in a civil manner, which I tried at first a couple of times because I'm dumb, a lot of them will say things like, you know, you're mocking my feelings and my whatever. Yes, because you are the person who didn't get tomatoes on your hamburger and then waited to beat up the cook after the thing. You're crazy.
And not just that.
I'm not saying that.
You tweeted at the line cooks. You tweeted at the head staff. You tweeted at the owner of the restaurant. You found a way to message every single person in the restaurant.
I'm not saying that, hey, you should just eat the tomatoes and like it. I'm not saying that at all. Yes, you should be annoyed. But you're not handling it in the manner of a reasonable person. And that makes you crazy. Like, that you should be ashamed of yourself for the behavior that you are exhibiting, because it is not in proportion with what the problem is. Not that there's no problem, just that we have to be reasonable human beings in how we react to that. And so that's what I think is really the most.
Yeah, leave a Yelp review, okay?
Yeah,
the restaurant analogy.
Yeah, the biggest disappointing thing to me about this whole thing is just the toxicity exhibited by the community in response to it. I get it. You don't like it. Don't go track down individual people that work at Wizards of the Coast and yell at them. Like, you don't even know if they had anything to do with it. Also, they're just an employee at a place. Like, they didn't make the decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I'm sure there are people within Wizards of the Coast who were excited about this thing. They designed it. Maybe they love The Walking Dead. You know, they probably thought the community was going to think it was cool because mostly the Godzilla response was cool. And, you know, even if they worked on it, I'm not, like, you shouldn't go after individual people, is all I'm saying. Write to the company, I'm disappointed, I don't think you should have made the product, here's why, I'm not going to be buying it, maybe I'm not going to be playing your game anymore, whatever you want to say. Say it to the company, but saying it to individual people that work at Wizards, or even people that don't work at Wizards, that's what's insane to me. The Rules Committee and the Commander Advisor Group are volunteers.
Yeah. Now, there is some crossover of the RC into the WotC side, but that, again, none of them are being paid for this. It's not their job. They have regular day jobs. And in fact, I don't want to keep going into it because I don't want to feel like a pity fest or anything.
Yeah, I don't want you to feel sorry for us. I want you to feel for the people that were acting like that. And honestly, like, of our viewers, it's going to be a small percentage, right? Because this is just the loud people online. And we know that like 90% of Magic players aren't that invested to get to that level of, you know, pitchfork torches,
yeah,
let's burn it all to the ground type of anger.
Yeah, and it's something else that we noticed too, and this video is a part of that fad, which is, if we were a news channel and wanted to cover every single late breaking thing that happened, then we would make very salacious headlines on our clickbait titles.
Well, wait, hold on. We're going to have a salacious clickbaity.
That's what I'm saying.
We are a part of this video.
Yeah. And this video is going to get a lot of views. We know that for a fact, and that's a thing that I think kind of poisons the toxic well a little bit more in terms of the content creation world, because when something big happens like this and everyone wants to jump on to make a video about it, they all know that those videos are going to pick up traction, they're going to be shared, they're going to be discussed, they're going to be subscribed to, all of that stuff. And I don't blame anyone, right, for wanting to get a higher number or whatever it is in the YouTube world. I just think that what ended up happening is that this was already an extremely angry and vitriolic situation. And what ended up happening is that all of the content creators just wanted to strike a match or throw more oil on this fire and just watch it grow bigger. And what ended up happening is that there was so little regard for what was actually tearing apart the community that we got to this place where people were getting harassed online, people were getting sent threats of all sorts and just accusatory things and things that are not pleasant to look at or watch. In fact, I wanted to say something about this immediately, and then when I looked at my Twitter inbox and just saw how many people were disappointed in me for not saying something or angry at me, telling me I should quit, they're unsubbing, that I should be ashamed of myself, I was like, you know what? Screw that. I'm not talking about it at all. I've already gone through one boycott, all right, of a movie that I did. And I tried to talk to those people as well, and there was literally no winning because they never gave me a position to win from, if that makes sense. They never gave me a safe space for me to be like, hey, here's what I actually think. Please don't massacre me over this. What ends up happening is, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe this. And so you're not given really any position or a safe ground to stand on to even start the conversation. And as a result, you just got a lot of vitriol, a lot of toxicity, and it's fueled by all the content around it as well.
I just didn't open Twitter for a few days. That's you know smart. What? Like, it was really easy for my finger to just not touch that button. And because every time I did, it'd just be like 100 messages yelling at me. Why the heck am I going to do that? I got plenty to do here. We got extra turns, a game nights, all of our content to plan for next year. We're working on that. So I was like, I'm busy. I don't need to be on Twitter. And that's why you didn't hear from me, because if I'm just going to go on there and get yelled at, like, what is the incentive? That's not fun. Not like, I don't incentive. Need that in my life. Yeah.
There's also criticism that, like, why didn't you guys put out a video immediately? And here's the thing. If there was a massive rules change, or if Ikari was actually banned and would affect you going into your next playgroups, tomorrow or tonight even, then that's the case where Josh and I look at each other and go, okay, we should probably address this as soon as possible so that people don't get things wrong, so that they're playing the game correctly. We had videos, we recorded the last video like, what, a week and a half or 2 weeks in advance?
I mean, I will say that this was in a particularly busy time for us. We had an extra turns planned to shoot. We had a game nights planned to shoot. So what we did is, ahead of time, we recorded last week's podcast episode. So usually we'd record about a week ahead, but we recorded that more like almost 2 weeks ahead. So, and we had the roundtable and podcast the week before, or the week of. So there was extra workload on the editing team. So there wasn't a really great window for us to create a video. We obviously could have done it if we wanted to, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
I think we both looked at each other and went,
is it worth it given what the response will be?
I don't think so, yeah.
Should we wait for the dust to clear and then talk about it in post? I think that's a little more effective and also a little better for the overall health of what's happening here in the community.
Okay, so this video is going to be all about Walking Dead Secret Lair.
Yeah, that's 30 minutes
careful.
On Walking Dead.
So we're gonna move on.
Wait,
here.
Can I make one last point?
Well, yeah.
This community has been split before by someone who we literally banned out of it. And I personally saw a resurgence of this person's fans and his fan group, which are not the kind of people that you want to stick around, come back because of this and start to infest the Magic community again and tear it apart.
Around it. Yeah, I want to
no
say...
No, thanks.
I want to say one last thing here, and it's to content creators. And I think, you know, we understand, and I'm not being disparaging or, you know, I don't mean to sort of tell people what to do with their content. But at the same time, I would like them to think about the manner in which they speak about these types of things. Because, you know, when you have a large following in the community...
People look up to you.
Yeah, and you have a responsibility, I think, to, you know, do what's best for the community when you can. And obviously, like, if you take certain tacks, sometimes content creation and what's successful there is not the same as what's going to be best for, you know, Magic and the community of Magic and things like that. And I think, you know, I just hope that some people, you know, who are friends of ours, a lot of them, will just think about that when they kind of get out there and stoke the flames a little bit. Like, I get it, and you know, I'm not yelling at anybody, and I don't think that they were saying things they didn't believe. I just think, as with many things in life, it's not necessarily exactly what you're doing, it's just how you're going about doing it. Just think about that a little bit, and I think there's maybe ways to be constructive that aren't destructive.
Yeah, and if you're putting out a video like the day after something happens, you're going to have less time to prepare for it, which means you should be probably even more aware of how you're approaching it and what the effect that's going to be.
But, you know, I get it. Like, being right on top of the thing as it's happening, you know.
That's important.
Yeah, like, listen, in certain circumstances, we are like, okay, we got to get something out because everyone's going to be talking about it. We need to be in the middle of that and be involved in it. And I totally understand that. I don't blame anybody for that at all. I just, you know, just give a little bit of thought to like, hey, is this going to be destructive in some way? And am I okay with that? Because I think a lot of the people that are doing that, you know, the rant videos and the things like that, it's not that they don't believe what they're saying. It's just that they're working everybody up into this. Do you want to just know what's the outcome of what you're saying? And maybe you can say it in a way that doesn't get it to the point where like the community is starting to fracture. That's all I'm saying.
And the community, unfortunately, kind of did fracture over all this. And that is the main thing that I am personally concerned about, which is I don't want the community to split itself more and more and more over cards that are in, you know, half a year, I don't even know if we're going to be talking about them.
We'll probably never talk about it again.
Right? And clearly, I would say this, Wizards has gotten the message. They have gotten the message, and if they continue to misstep, then yes, we can probably get a little more, one more pitchfork out of the barn. But for now, I think we should put those away, because the only people you're stabbing with those pitchforks at that point, at this point, are the people who make the content for you and the game that you love, that we love all together. Community, one for all for one.
Okay, I got one more thing to say, though, because I don't want to set expectations incorrectly. I don't have any knowledge, but I'll guarantee there's going to be more instances like this where they do crossover IPs and
yes,
things like that.
Yes, I know for a fact.
Because there's no way that they plan, because they plan stuff so far ahead.
Yeah.
So there's no way they could incorporate into their planning that everybody would hate this and they shouldn't do it again. They wouldn't have done it in the first place then. So let's just all prepare ourselves for the idea that this may be a thing that pops up again, and they've already commissioned the art and designed the cards and paid all the money, and they need to recoup some of those losses. I get it.
And don't forget, you still vote with your wallet.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Just don't buy the stuff, and then eventually they will stop making it. Okay, we got to stop now. Otherwise, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead for the entirety of the episode. There are our thoughts. Hopeful to hear from you in the comment. Maybe not calling us like we have no integrity or
I plead
or whatever.
For civil conversation.
Yeah. All right.
Love you.
We got a lot more questions though from the community to answer about other topics, but we're going to get into that in just a moment after we take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right, welcome back to the episode. We are doing a Q&A today, and this next one's actually pretty funny. It ties kind of into the thing we just talked about.
Yeah, it's kind of about crossover IPs.
Yeah. All right, if you could have a superhero as your commander, who would it be? Asks Zachariah. I think Batman. Batman would be pretty cool.
I'm Batman. Then because... you could talk like this the entire game.
Yeah.
Eye catch, wait, Rhystic Study. Do you pay one for Rhystic Study?
Well, I think Batman would be like black and maybe... Well, actually, it depends, right? That's the cool thing about Batman. There's so many different versions and suits.
Black and white?
Yeah, it could be black and white, or it could be black and red for the, you know, angry Batman. Black and green when he's doing Krypton stuff. Just kidding.
What's Chaotic Lawful in Magic?
Chaotic Lawful? Probably black and white. Black and white. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you pay for Smothering Tithe?
It's like, no. You can have that. It's like, it's okay, I'm rich. I don't need the money.
All right, I'm going with Professor X.
Oh, cool.
He reads people's minds.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. How could you lose?
Is he blue-white? Because he's all about
lawful.
Yeah, lawful good. Yeah,
lawful good.
I will say, shout out to like the custom magic subreddits, who I'm actually interested in what they think about the whole promo thing, because they've been making cards like this for years. Their whole Star Trek sets, their whole Harry Potter sets with the mechanically unique cards.
All right, let's go to the next question. Has the recent delay on the release / spoilers of Commander Legends also delayed the intended release date for the next game nights? And in a weird coincidence, this person's name is Xavier.
That is coincidental.
I'm pretty sure it's Professor X. Read our minds.
Prof X.
Yeah. Months ago, and knew that we were going to do the questions in this order. So for contents, Wizards of the Coast announced that the release of Commander Legends is being delayed globally until November 20th due to production challenges as a result of the ongoing pandemic. Pre-release events will start on November 13th, and the preview season for Commander Legends begins on October 26th. So Game Nights is going to follow suit, and we are going to push the release date back basically 1 week. So Game Nights will release on, we never announced this early, so this person tricked us into saying this.
it's Professor X. They knew.
Yeah. So Game Nights, the next Game Nights will release on November 18th.
Yes, but that could change if delays happen further. A lot of these production things sort of are like last minute when it comes down to it.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of which, if you're a Kickstarter backer, you should have received your survey by now, and you have until October 21st to fill that out, so please do.
Okay.
Check your email and the Kickstarter page for updates. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, next question is, I'm building a Zaxxara the Exemplary deck, and I'm having a hard time deciding how many counterspells is enough / too many to include. It's not a control deck, so I don't want to go overboard. And also, do you consider counters as single target removal or some other category?
I consider them as single target removal.
Yeah, I've started to do that more these days, especially if the... I've also started to consider them card draw sometimes, if you play like Sublime Epiphany.
Mystic Confluence.
Mystic Confluence.
Yeah.
There's a lot, I think. Counterspells actually fill this interesting slot where they do a lot. They provide tempo. They also remove a card from your opponent. Sometimes they give you additional value, like a Cryptic Command or whatever.
I think they definitely count as single target removal. It's Blue's version of it. It's a little narrow, but so is a card that says destroy target artifact or enchantment, right? It can't get creatures, so it's narrow too.
Yeah, yeah.
To answer Dan's earlier question, I would say, Dan, if it's not a control deck, you probably want somewhere in the range of 2 to 4.
Yeah.
You don't want zero. I think you want at least a couple, especially if it's in a playgroup you play with people a lot. You want them to know there's the possibility of the counterspell so you can bluff it sometimes, or they can have to worry about it. But if it's not a full-on control deck, you don't want 10, because that's just too many.
You'll be countering way more, right? Like, I'd say at 10, you're like countering once a turn cycle almost.
I think you want 2 to 4 or 2 to 5, or you want 20, and you don't really want in the middle.
Yeah.
You want to be like, I'm a counterspell deck, or... I can occasionally counter the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, and maybe save myself from losing the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, I said between 2 and 5 too. And then
or protect me winning the game.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, you're definitely, I would say definitely include the counterspells too that are flexible and modal. So the Cryptic Command, Insidious Halt Wills, Sublime Epiphanies, Mystic Confluences. Those are all cards that have a lot of options, and they're a little more expensive, so you don't feel as bad for...
Well, he probably wants the X spells, right? Zaxxara character.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
This, the spell bursts and things
spell
like that.
The things I can counter for X as well. So
Syncopate,
yeah,
that's a good one.
Next question. How do you feel about bluffing or straight up lying about having a response, like a counter, to something that's happening on the board? From Philip.
I love it.
I'd say buyer beware. If you get called out in this sort of stuff, the next time you do it will be much less impactful.
Yeah, be careful how you do it, but I think it's totally fine to do, and I will do it quite often. Either imply I have a removal spell when I don't. I don't think I will very often straight up say, I have removal for that, and then they go, I attack you anyway. Oh, crap, never mind.
Yeah.
Or I will counter that, and then they do it. But I will imply heavily, so that's a form of lying, right?
Yeah. I mean, having the mana open, or if you have a bunch of instants in your deck, just having a bunch of mana open and having someone do something, be like, hold on. And really, you're just looking at a card that says draw cards in your hand. You're like, okay, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you know, that's like, a form of lying, right? That's gamesmanship, I would call it. I also like doing a thing where I may have a way to remove something on the board, but I'd rather somebody else use the removal. So I'm not above being like, I can't really take care of that. You got anything?
Else? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially if my turn, because by the time your turn comes around, you're going to draw a card. Mm-hmm. So you could claim that you drew the card that's going to remove the card if nobody else did anything about it. So you can cover your lie. You just don't basically want to put yourself in a situation where your lie is easily uncovered and revealed to everybody, because then they're never going to trust you again. And the equity loss there is way bigger than any one moment you're lying about. Yeah. That makes sense.
Don't lie too hard, but definitely imply. And especially if you can do it and follow up with something sometimes too, that will help you the next time you try and bluff as well.
Yeah. Just play a lot of Among Us. That'll get you a lot of good practice.
Yeah. Also, don't do it in colors that can't do it. You know, don't be in a color and be like, I can deal with that. I'm like, no, you actually can't. Yeah. Yeah, how? Did they print a secret layer I didn't know about?
Oh, wow. Too soon.
Okay.
Next question is, which set in the past 3 years do you think was the most revolutionary to Magic as a game? And this is from Anonymous. This person didn't want anyone to know they asked this question. Yeah.
There's some good options here. You wrote some nominees down. I put a couple as well.
Okay, so my nominees are War of the Spark, because static abilities on Planeswalkers, I think, is pretty revolutionary. Modern Horizons, simply because it introduces a way to bypass Standard and get new cards into the game.
Yep.
And Zendikar Rising, I think the modal double face cards are pretty revolutionary, and the more I play with them, the more I believe that we were correct in our episode about them, and you're going to be putting 4 to 5 of them in every single deck.
Yeah. I wrote down Ikoria because I think Mutate is a mechanic that we will still be baffled by 3 years from now. And then Jumpstart, just because it was another interesting way to sort of bypass, again, all the other formats and release a really sweet product with a lot of very viable commanders.
I'm going to say modal double face cards. I think as far as like cards we're going to see regularly over the next, you know, 3-4 years, we're going to see a lot of modal double face cards. So I think Zendikar Rising ushering that in is going to end up being like a big revolutionary thing.
I'm going to say Jumpstart, provided that they make it more available and actually go through with the reprint. Yeah, because I think, again, like, this is a really cool way to both introduce people to Magic and then introduce cards, right? This is when Mill became a real thing. Yeah. And so, like, it's cool to, like, get the opportunity to use a set like this. It fits in a really nice power space, so you can make a lot of cool stuff. And I think Legacy players were happy about El Goblin Lord.
Okay, what's up with Teamfight Tactics? Still playing it? On what platform? Are you still making the podcast? And it's from Seraphim. So those that don't know, for a while last year...
2 years ago now.
Was that a long time ago?
Yeah.
We started making another content channel for Teamfight Tactics called Teamfight Tactical Report.
For all of like 6 episodes.
We did it for about a month and a half, maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
And then we stopped. And to answer your question, Seraphim, we're not still playing and we're not still making the podcast.
I do actually still play occasionally. Yeah, the newest set that came out, really interesting mechanic called Chosen. But the reason that we couldn't make the podcast is that the game changes. There's a patch every 2 weeks and it affects so much of the meta every single time, and it evolved extremely quickly. And so being able to keep up with all of that as well as all of the Magic stuff when we could barely keep up with the Magic stuff ended up just being a little too much. But it was a fun experiment while it lasted.
Yeah, it was fun, but we couldn't keep up with it. Okay, next question is from Robert. He says, we have a pretty large playgroup. Some players are hyper-aggressive and want to kill everyone as soon as possible, while other players want to see their build come to fruition and get to that special combo they came up with, etc. How do you keep everyone happy and playing together?
This is kind of like the Rule Zero thing. If you are all about to bust out your decks, have a small conversation around the table about what kind of game is about to happen, and that way everyone's going to have their expectations set correctly.
I actually think this sounds great, that you have multiple different play styles your playgroup, because that's kind of the rock, paper, scissors aspect that I find fun. Like, I don't think it would actually be great if everybody in the playgroup is just this, like, combo, slow decks, no one's going to do anything for 5 turns. You need the aggro players and things in the mix to kind of keep everybody honest, and then you need those big late-game players to keep the aggro decks honest. Like,
right.
Yeah, so I think, to me, that mix of playstyles is actually good, and you want that.
Yeah, I would actually test it out if you're like, hey, let's just only play aggressive decks this time and see what happens, or like, let's do a mix. And I think you might, you know, based on what Josh said there, you might actually have more fun doing more of a mix than anything else.
Yeah, it's nice. When you build a deck, you have to think like, well, they might play an aggro deck, they might play this deck. If you just know for sure everyone's going to play the same type of deck, then your deck building gets really skewed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, next question.
Yes. If you had to ban one card, what would it be?
And this is from Wes. So we have to. We can't just say not a card.
Yeah. My votes would either be Mana Crypt or the card behind us, Cyclonic Rift.
Wow. I would say Blood Moon. all right. All joking aside, I think I would say Aetherflux Reservoir.
Oh, interesting. One-shot Death Star.
Yeah, I just have never seen a play pattern with that card that I think is really fun. And I've taken it out of most of my decks just because using it myself, it's always a card. You just play it and then you just win, or you hold it over everybody's head until you win. I don't know. I just don't find a lot of fun play patterns from that card. Listen, to be clear, I would not ban any cards.
Right,
I'm on the CAG.
Right,
I'm just saying, this person said if we had to.
Had to, right.
Yeah.
Like, it must happen.
I think I should just say a card that doesn't matter to anyone, like a common from a set, actually. It's like Spore Web Weaver. Ban it.
I love that card. All right, next question from David. It feels like every game I play these days has at least one landfall/lands matters deck. What's the best way to beat these types of strategies?
This is a funny question because it's true, right? I did a Twitter poll and I asked people, do you have a lands matter deck? Do you have a wheel deck? Do you have both? And something like 66% of people had a Lands Matter deck. Like,
whoa.
Either Lands Matter or both those decks.
Jeez.
So, like, most players have a Lands Matter deck now, which feels true. Like, you just run into it all the time.
Yeah, and again, the main perpetrators of this are the Lord Windgraces and Gitrog Monsters. So,
there's, like, Radas and there's Azuzas and there's, you know...
Well, Azusa being reprinted in Scapeshift 2 definitely helped those decks out quite a bit.
There's just so much of it. Yeah, and it's a good question, right? Like... It is a difficult mechanic to counter.
Because lands are kind of holy in the game, and so you can't really go after them. So what would you do, Josh?
Well, I thought of like Aven Mind Sensor stuff, Ashiok stuff. Most Lands Matter decks are fetch lands, using fetch lands a lot, or using Rampant Growths and things that search their library for lands. And so turning off their ability to search, Ashiok, the Planeswalker, basically like can really mess with them, especially since you can flash it in response to the search and make them just lose their fetch and not get a land into play.
For the Mind Sensor?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's sort of one good way to counter these decks is to have a few of that type of effect in there.
Yeah, I think Graveyard Hate has got to be the biggest one. So there are a lot of cards like Bajuka Bog. And if you play an Expedition map in your deck, having a Bajuka Bog, if you can play it, that's just like a two thing that your Expedition map is always going to be good. It's always going to do something for you. But if you can make sure you can get that piece out. There's also Jund and Rakdos Charm are both ways to get rid of cards in graveyards.
Scavenger Grounds, I think, is a good one that I've been putting in almost every deck. Lands Matter decks are very often playing lands from their graveyards. Ramunak Excavator, Crucible of Worlds, Lord Windgrace just does it.
Being able to get rid of a Crucible is really important too, so make sure you're packing even single target artifact removal.
But a lot of times they go to like get a land or something out of their graveyard and you're like, no, just get rid of your graveyard. And that like turns off a lot of their ability to get those extra lands into play.
Yeah, maybe it takes them 2-3 turns to get back to setting it up like that.
Confounding Conundrum, that's a new card that... you know, hurts the Lands Matter decks because they want to put multiple lands into play and it makes them bounce them instead. I mean...
Oh, right.
Yeah, it feels like it helps them hit landfall because they bounce their lands, but they don't get extra lands into play, so it, like, cultivates and Rampant Growths and stuff become pretty bad.
Yeah. Again, just getting rid of an Azusa or a Mina and Den are the cards that let them play extra cards too, so having single target removal ready to go will stop them from comboing off and going nuts on turn 3 or whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah, it's. I also thought there are some cards that do targeted graveyard shuffling, like Clear the Mind or Learn from the Past, which are cantrips, but they also shuffle a person's graveyard into their library.
That's cool.
So that's kind of mean.
And then if you are going down the mean track anyway, maybe like Stifle Effects, because you can stifle the trigger on a fetch land, and then they sacrifice their lands and get nothing for it. If you're running into a lot of landfall decks, that might be worth it.
And they lose a life.
If you do that on turn one, it could just knock them out of the game where they just don't. On turn two, they start the turn with zero lands. Like, that's pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
That's if you want to be mean. All right, let's do one more question here.
From Richard Garfield. No, just Richard.
Probably not Richard Garfield, but we don't know for certain.
Yeah, it's true.
We probably do. We just took the last names off.
Well, yeah, we'll flip a coin. We never know. Okay. Are you guys worried about power creep with so much product being released each year and now Wizards is paying a lot more attention to Commander? Is it or will it be a problem for the format?
This is a good question.
Yeah, power creep is one of those things where over time, and you'll see it, right? Like Baneslayer Angel used to be the biggest, baddest thing on the block.
Now you don't even play it.
You look at like Questing Beasts and all sorts of different things and cards in Commander, and you're like, wow, people thought Baneslayer was a good card. So that's what power creep is. That
Sarah Angel,
time,
the greatest creature of all time Alpha and Beta and Unlimited, but then, yeah.
Yeah, clearly outclassed. So cards will get better over time because there's, you know, more and less design space simultaneously to work with. And Commander is something that could get affected by that.
I mean, definitely has been. I think it's impossible that no power creep would occur.
Four color Commanders is an instance of the greatest power creep I think Commander's ever seen in a single go.
I mean, I think it has to do a lot with like Arcane Signet, mm-hmm. right? One thing we've been talking about in the office a lot recently is that like three mana rocks, we used to play them, right? You used to play Commander Sphere, Darksteel Ingot, those type of things. You don't play those cards anymore. They've been pushed out of the format by the Thought Vessels and the Arcane Signets and things like that. Like even Coalition Relic, like I barely play anymore. And that'll give you two mana sometimes on the turn after you play it. And that's just like, it can never go the other way. Nothing's going to ever... Because what you do is you take this card and you go, okay, well, this does basically what this other one does, but it's cheaper mana cost, so I'm going to replace it. But there's nothing really that's going to be like, oh, this one's going to make me take out a 2-drop and put in a 5-drop in general. So that's why I think the format's, you know, gotten noticeably faster over the last, like, 5 years. And it's not happening super fast. Like, it's 5 years, but we're noticing changes. And I think power creep is always a thing in games like Magic. And the only way to really solve it is what Modern kind of did in relation to Legacy, right? Like, that's how Modern tried to solve this problem of Legacy is just like, everything's happening so fast and decks can win on like turn two pretty regularly. How do we create a format that allows us to play with a lot more cards than Standard, but doesn't end, you know, super early? And they were like, well, we just limit the card pool in a different way. So I think no matter what happens, Commander's going, there's going to be some power creep, and it's the rate at which the power creep is happening that we should be worried about.
Yeah, and this is also something that you can decide in your play group. If everyone's starting to get hyper competitive and stuff, just be like, everyone, can we put like two more 6-drops in everyone's deck? Just be a little more casual and push it at the other end, and you can combat power creep that way. This actually, if anything, says that like deck building will be a lot more standardized, as in like you really only do want to play the 2-mana rocks. Like you rarely want to play the 3-mana ones.
I think we're there, right? Like that's a revolution or an evolution that's happened in the last couple of years where I just noticed I'm just not running, you know, I'm not running Thran Dynamo like basically ever anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Ever.
But it used to be, when we started the show, Thran Dynamo was in most decks. So
yeah, that's true. And then it was replaced by Hedron Archive.
Yeah.
Because it could draw some cards if it was not good anymore. Yeah, I think 3 and 4 mana rocks are just out. 3-mana rocks, I can see a case for. There's also that one with the multi-kicker, so you could have a bunch, or just regular kicker, so you have a bunch of copies of it. But outside of that, I mean, in the last deck I built for Game Nights, I had 6 2-mana rocks in it.
And that's the thing. Because of all the 2-mana rocks, you don't feel you need the 3-mana ones. And you're just like, well, I'm just going to put 3 and 4 drops in that do stuff.
Totally.
So that kind of power creep. And I do think, you know, even if it's only 3 or 4 cards a year, well, over 5 years, that's 20 cards.
Right.
That's a lot. That's a big percentage of your deck. It will affect the format. So I think, you know, that combined with the fact that Wizards is paying more attention to the Commander format, so we're likely to get more cards like Arcane Signet and things like that. You know, we'll see with Commander Legends what happens, but I bet there are cards, you know, they want Commander players to like it. They have to make cards you're going to play. Cards you're going to play are going to replace cards that are already in your deck, right? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a little bit of power creep in there. It's just how much. I hope, you know, they're cognizant of it, but I think it's impossible that there wouldn't be power creep over a long enough timeline.
Yeah, it's something that the player base has to fight within your own play group and also just sort of be wary of. But it's changing deck building as we know it. So power creep is happening. It's not destroying the format yet, though.
Yeah, I think the speed at which it's happening is acceptable. You just don't want the change to happen so quickly that...
Yeah, like they print 5 Sol Ring type cards.
All my old decks, they don't work at all. They can't compete at all now. You know, it's happening slowly enough that we can keep up, and I think that that's mostly okay. I'm not super worried about it.
And I would say that making Commander games faster is a general good.
All right, to the listeners... by the way, we're done answering questions now, so that'll be it. Again, if you want to have your question possibly answered on an episode like this in the future, just email us commandzonecast at gmail.com. CommandZoneCast@gmail.com.
With the title Question Time. That's all you have to put. Nothing else. Question Time. And we'll sort it into our inbox. And ta-da, you'll potentially get your question on a future episode.
But now we have a question for all of you out there, to the listeners. What do you think about power creep in the format? Is it something that you're worried about or that you think is accelerating?
Yep. Or answer any of the other questions we talked about today. We obviously know there's going to be a lot of Walking Dead discussion in the comments. So we look forward to having a nice civil area of discussion where no names will be called. And we can all agree that at the end of the day, we're playing a game and it's for fun. So let's try to keep having as much of that as possible.
All right. Make sure that you go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone if you're going to order any Magic singles product, anything at all. You know, Jumpstart, which we talked about.
Yep.
I don't know if they have any. Hopefully they do. Maybe by the time you're hearing this, they've reprinted that. But there's also...
Fingers crossed.
There's also all the Zendikar Rising stuff.
Commander Legends is on the way.
Double face cards. I'm going to say it. Like, you're going to want these, and you're going to want these in a lot of your decks. So my advice would be to go and get your hands on the Modal Double Face card sooner rather than later. We're near peak supply on Zendikar Rising, the most supply there's ever going to be in the market, which means the lowest prices on most of those cards. So I think it's going to be a good idea to pick up a lot of those, because seriously, every deck I build for game nights, extra turns, for myself playing on Spell Table or whatever,
it just feels since so they good to out, have in there. It
I'm putting so four good. Or five in. And now I'm going back to all my old decks and being like, yep, the green one, the regrowth one, that's every green deck.
Ball again recovery, baby. Yeah,
that card is insane. Like, that card is great. That's going in every deck you have that has green. So cardkingdom.com/commandzone, that's where you want to pick up that stuff. You're going to buy it anyway. You might as well support the content you enjoy while you do.
And here's the thing. Those MDFCs, you're going to take them in and out of the sleeves a lot, which means you might scuff them up. So why not put them into a inner sleeve and then into an Ultra Pro sleeve and then play it on your sweet Ultra Pro playmat? There's so many ways to protect your cards, and we, again, have trusted Ultra Pro to do that for us from the beginning here. We put them into their deck boxes. We use their sleeves on game nights, and the shuffle feel, I love shuffling these. It's one of the few decks I can hold with my entire hand and shuffle because it goes so smoothly. And that, to me, says a lot about the quality of the sleeves and their new Eclipse Gloss sleeves, making sure that you can see the shininess of your cards on the bottom as well.
Yeah, that's important.
Very important. So definitely, if you're supporting Ultra Pro, you're also supporting the show, and you can pick up some Ultra Pro product from Card Kingdom while you're there.
All right, now time for the instep where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. Jimmy, do you have something cool? You were telling me about a Netflix movie just the other day.
Oh, that's right.
I haven't watched it yet.
My Octopus Teacher.
Yeah,
I think it's, or something, some version of those words.
It's My Octopus Teacher, I'm pretty sure. Okay. It pops up on my Netflix, and I've always been like, that's weird, and cycled past it. But now I'm going to have to watch it because you said it was good.
Yeah, this is something that just sort of randomly playing in the background, and everyone was doing stuff, and then just kind of got drawn to the TV. It's about this amazing documentarian that decides to go swimming every single day in this specific reef area, and he encounters an octopus, and he has all this recording equipment, so he documents his sort of journey with this creature under the water, gaining its trust, learning about it, explaining it to the camera, and it's fascinating. If you've never learned about octopuses or octopi before, this thing, it's incredible. They're the smartest creatures, I swear, on the ocean floor. It's like them and dolphins. And so it's a really fascinating documentary. You get to see all sorts of interaction between it and the other sea creatures as well, and learn a lot about that type of world that it lives in. So very, very interesting, fun documentary. The guy narrating it is really awesome as well, and you learn a bunch.
He's a cinematographer, right? So it's
It's beautiful. It looks great. It's shot well. It's edited well. It's altogether just like a nice package and really digestible. At the end of it, leaves you feeling good, happy emotions, I would say.
All right. I'm excited to check it out. My Octopus Teacher on Netflix. Big thanks to our editing, graphics, and logistics team, which is Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nahn, Alfred Estaca, and Sam Waldo.
Yay! Thank you to all of them. And of course, special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Card animations that live behind us here on set. You can find Jeffrey at Living Cards MTG, as well as a big thank you to Sam Waldo, who sometimes does this one.
He did this one, yeah.
Yeah, and Jeffrey, always, of course, you see his work at the beginning of our episodes with that awesome Soul Ring animation.
All right, everybody.
All right.
Be nice to each other.
Yes. And also, please don't go after our staff either about this stuff. They are...
Don't go after wizard people. Don't go after us. Don't go after our staff. You know, write a nice stern letter to Wizards Corporate or
ask,
to their corporate Twitter accounts and things like that.
Or message when you do message the people and you want a little more transparency. Ask for it in a way that is going to make people want to respond to you.
Yeah. Don't hit the caps lock.
Yeah, don't hit caps lock, even by accident. Not my grandpa trying to text. Yeah, so don't worry about it.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
We'll see you next time.
Peace.
your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.